There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, Wemlu. This episode of the Raptors Over Everything Podcast is brought to you by our official sponsor, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the new official food of basketball. So make sure you're never missing buckets. Order yours online at kfc.ca and get it before tip-off. So I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors 118-112 win over the New York Knicks. And, you know, this game was harder than it needed to be. A win is a win. That's what Kyle Lowry was saying as, he came down the tunnel at MSG. Obviously, I wasn't there. But there was a clip floating around that the Raptors tweeted out where Kyle Lowry is just leaving the floor. He's in the tunnel. And he's just chanting over and over again, a win is a win is a win. And like, yeah, I mean, did the Raptors play their best basketball against the Knicks? No. Do you want to see a Knicks game go down to the last couple of possessions? No. Is the stress that comes with that slightly annoying? To be honest, I didn't feel that stress. I thought the Raptors were going to win it all the whole way, but you know, yeah, I mean, it was still kind of annoying that, you know, you couldn't even get a head start and start riding on some stuff. I was expecting more of a blowout. The Knicks, you know, to their credit, they played well. They played hard. They battled. I'm expecting that usual Knicks effort where they give up, where they stop playing defense, where they don't even stop playing defense because they never start playing defense. And there was none of that tonight. The Knicks actually played pretty well. So you got to give the Knicks a little bit of credit. But yeah, this was not the Raptors' best game. By any means, they fell down into an early hole. You know, the Raptors trailed in the first quarter 28-20 offensively. It was not working that well. But what was worse was just defensively, they just weren't giving the proper effort. Like, you can tell when the Raptors style up their defense, start forcing turnovers, they start forcing missed shots. That never really happened against the Knicks. You know, there were times where they dialed it up for, you know, a stretch here where the Knicks didn't score for 4 minutes or, you know, a stretch there. But for the most part, the Knicks kind of got inside. The size advantage for the Knicks was definitely there. You know, everyone makes fun of the Knicks for having like a million power forwards. Well, I mean, you know, one of the benefits of having a million power forwards is that you have size across the board and you have guys getting you offensive rebounds. You look at the Knicks starting front court. Julius Randle giving you 4 offensive rebounds. Marcus Morris giving you 2. Taj Gibson giving you 3. You know, those second chance points really did keep the Knicks alive. They just, you know, it kind of evened out towards the end, but especially at the beginning there, the Raptors just giving up those offensive rebounds, fell into a hole. Now, they obviously got out of it. You know, the Raptors had, by halftime, they had already taken the lead. And they kind of led pretty much throughout the rest of the game. There was one point where the Knicks sort of tied it at the end. Defensively, they got lost a couple times, and it's pretty annoying to see. But, you know, early in the game, it was more of Kyle Lowry sort of willing them to stay inside. Kyle did a really good job of just forcing himself to get the free throw line. Was it Kyle Lowry's best performance offensively? No, not at all. 5 of 12 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3. But he went 13 of 14 from the free throw line. Not saying he baits the officials, but, like, let's be real. Kyle Lowry baits the officials. Plays officials really well and, you know, just forced his way to the free throw line. That sort of kept the Raptors in it early. And, you know, it's really funny because while everyone else was sluggish, Kyle was just that guy who was like, look, I don't care that it's the middle of the season. It's game 45 in January on the road against the Knicks before another road game against San Antonio randomly. I want to win this game. And I think, honestly, that sort of impact trickles down to the rest of the team because you look at Kyle first half, the man's diving on the floor, hitting the deck. Ultimately he failed because he was out of bounds, but you know, just to save a loose ball, he's diving on the ground. And that says a lot about your leader. You know, if you're going to win a lot of these games in January, you need your guy, or in February, you need your guys to, you just need your guys to just compete, man. You just need to battle. And Kyle Lowry carries. That's one of the best traits about Kyle, is that he gives too much of an F about every game. And does that sometimes lead to him taking charges with a bad back and missing some time? Sure. But ultimately, you know, you love to see that leadership from Kyle. I thought the bench action tonight gave the Raptors a nice lift. You know, not even necessarily in just sort of how well they played offensively, how well they executed, but just defensively, they came in and provided more energy, more of a spark. You know, the bench unit tonight was Fred with the bench. A lot of Fred with the bench. Fred and the bench being Rondé, Ibaka, Terrence Davis, Norman Powell. Those guys came in and just, you know, hustled. They just sort of increased the intensity of the game. Sort of matched more of what the Knicks were giving them. And also the Knicks bench, let's be real, they're bad. I mean, you know, they got a guy like Damian Dotson who shot the lights out. But like Frankie Smokes as their point guard off the bench, not great. Mitchell Robinson jumping at everything. Trying to get a block shot, not great. Kevin Knox, oh my god, he looked like a disaster, bro. He looks really bad. I hope he's okay. Like it was looking real tough for him. And so you know, the Raptors bench sort of got the Raptors back into it, and the Raptors starters came in, sort of held it down a little bit. You know, Fred with the bench there, I thought he did really well just to sort of set up the team and run the team well. It was not a game where there was a lot of pretty basketball. Offensively, it was not necessarily sluggish, but it just wasn't pretty. There's a lot more one-on-one play, but Fred giving 9 assists, I thought he led it. He just set the table pretty well for the team, and of course, you know, chipping in with his baskets. Third quarter, kind of, you know, more of the same, really. I mean, I don't know, man. It was just one of those games where the Raptors stayed ahead, but they weren't ahead by that much. And, you know, I guess in light of the fact that the Raptors have blown a couple big leads recently, it's probably not the worst thing for the Raptors to be in a game where it still demands your attention no matter what. Like, it's easy to be like, all right, we're up 25, let's chill. And then all of a sudden, Trae Young steals an inbound pass, and they're, you know, in a two-point game. It's another thing where you're only up 10, man. You're only up 5, you're only up 8. You got to keep going. You got to keep battling. And that's what the Raptors did. You know, I thought in the third quarter there, towards the end of that third quarter, Norman Powell gave them a huge boost. The end of that third quarter and the start of the fourth quarter is just Norman Powell time. Like, every single game, especially during this hot stretch, Norman Powell comes alive during that time. Norman's not a guy that gets involved that early. Early in the game, you know, he'll sort of float in and out, whatever. But in that third quarter, especially the Raptors are stuck a little bit. And the Raptors, you know, it wasn't that big of a lead. So Norm Powell was like, look, I'm just going to take over here. And he had a hand in 12 straight points for the Raptors. And it started with him being aggressive on the perimeter, getting a deflection, taking the ball the other way, and finishing the transition layup for 2 points. And then he comes off a screen, recognizes that defense is sagged off of him, pulls up for three, hits that shot. And then Norm, you know, at the start of the fourth quarter, Raptors had the ball coming out of the timeout to start the fourth quarter. And the Raptors have been running this more and more. Usually they run a hammer play for Kyle Lowry or Fred VanVleet. And the hammer play is just on one side of the floor, there's the ball handler, and he's driving from the top of the floor to the baseline. And on the other side of the floor, the shooter is going behind a screen and going to the opposite corner. And so when the playmaker comes down on one side, he swings the ball across the baseline and usually tries to find the shooter in the corner. The Raptors have been really good at running it for Kyle and Fred, especially when the two of them share the floor together. You're not really sure which one's going to be the one shooting, which one's going to be the one passing. It makes it a little bit more effective that way. But yeah, of late they've been running it for Norm Powell, especially at the start of the fourth quarter there. It happened in the Hawks game, it happened in that Philly game, and it happened tonight against the Knicks. In the first possession, who was it? Fred drove the lane and kicked it out to Norm, who hit the three. And then what was great after that was that Norm had the ball in his hands, leading a fast break. I think it was, I forget who it was, Remy Rondé forced a turnover or something. Oh no, Terrence Davis forced a turnover. And he threw the pass back to Norm Powell. Norm Powell led the fast break and then made a great pass, splitting three defenders by the Knicks to find Rondae Hollis Jefferson wide open under the rim. To be honest, you got to really make it easy for Rondae from not to miss. So, great bounce pass. You know, gave Rondae that extra split second to go up. Uncontested, two hands finishing the dunk. And then to top it off, Norm Powell runs a pick and roll. Or sorry, Norm Powell comes off a curl against Serge Ibaka on one side of the floor, catches the pass with some momentum going towards the middle. The Knicks are at this point definitely respecting Norm Powell because he has just created all the baskets. And Norm Powell uses that extra attention, that extra respect from the defense, slips a bounce pass to Serge Ibaka, and Serge dunks it. And there you go, 12 straight points created by Norman Powell. And, you know, he finishes the night with 16 points, so no 20 points for him, but still very efficient. 6 of 11 from the field, 3 of 6 from deep, split a pair of free throws, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, the steal, just one turnover, plus 8 in 25 minutes. Norm Powell, he's just great. He's money off the bench every time now. And this consistency, this focus is great. To be honest, even more than just the scoring, I'm more encouraged by the playmaking, because if you are that good as a scorer and defenses will eventually, you know, they watch games. They have professional teams of scouts coming out on all the NBA and stuff like that. They're watching and they're seeing that Norm Powell is doing this. They're going to adjust their game plans. Not going to leave Norm. They're going to be tighter on him. They're going to try to force him away from his spots. They're going to try to keep him out in the middle, try to keep him on transition, stuff like that. But with that extra added defensive attention towards Norm, if he can then leverage that into easier opportunities for his teammates, like he did on those two assists for Rondae and Serge, then, you know, it's that's how you become a more well-rounded player. And Norm Powell before has always been sort of a frustrating player because you don't really know what he's going to bring on a nightly basis. Now he's gone to the point of consistency where you know he can score. You know he can score in a variety of ways. You know you can run some offense for him, but also he's just going to be open and convert most of his chances. Now what's the next step for him? And really, I think the assists, you know, just improving himself as a playmaker is really going to help. He doesn't have the ball in his hands that much, but, you know, he's looking to score all the time. He's going to draw a lot of attention, and he can get easy assists that way. And that, and also just defensively. Like, Norm defensively, I mean, he gets lost a couple of times. He makes up for it with the big wingspan, and he tips the ball a lot, but the reads defensively are not great, and I hope that can improve. But for the most part, Norm really getting that lift to start the third quarter, and to end the third quarter and the start of the fourth quarter. And then in crunch time, it was a little odd because the Raptors were up by 12, and then like the Knicks made a couple of threes, and then it was a tight game. The Raptors had to go back to the starters. Now, the thing is, I like this decision from Nurse where he went to a big lineup. You know, it just wasn't the greatest game for OG, let's be real. OG has been not necessarily struggling. Well, no, I mean, he's just been invisible, not involved, not really creating much of his own offense. Not really knocking down his threes and stuff like that. And it's just been uninvolved, to be honest. Like, it's just not a lot of cutting for him, not a lot of plays to set up. Obviously, we know he's not a guy you count on to create most of his own offense. But still, you know, OG wasn't having a great night. And, you know, you look at it, the Raptors were getting pummeled on the offensive glass. The Knicks' size were really giving them issues. And so Nick Nurse went to he made the call, and he went to the two big lineup. He went to the jumbo lineup with Ibaka at center, Mark at center, Ibaka at four, and Pascal Siakam at three. The issue is normally that lineup comes in, and that front court trio are a lot more sound defensively. It's a little odd because they got to play new roles defensively. Someone's got to pick up a perimeter player. You know, you got to negotiate more screens. You got to be higher on everything. You know, it's just a little bit tougher because everyone's out of their, you know, depth a little bit. But for the most part, it's not the first time the Raptors have run the two big lineup. And generally speaking, they're pretty good at using it. They're pretty good at communicating. They're pretty smart defenders as a team. They help each other. They're pretty coordinated. And that's why it's a little uncharacteristic, because even though Nick Nurse brought that in to try to close with that group, it actually kind of backfired because the Knicks were able to get a wide open corner three off a miscommunication. And I think Damian Dotson, who was just on fire all night, got an open three because Raptors couldn't pick up who they were supposed to get defensively. It's just lost. And then the next possession after that, Julius Randle slips under the rim, undetected, gets an open layup, misses it, and then gets his own rebound and puts that in again. Just not challenged or anything like that. And it's just disappointing. it's disappointing. And, you know, Nick immediately calls timeout. He scraps that lineup. He goes to a new strategy. He puts in OG, and he puts in the regular closing group, which is just what his starters were. And you got to give OG some credit because he was not, you know, involved in the game early on. There was no effort, no additional effort to get him more offense. Nurse said after the Sixers game, where I think OG went scoreless, that it's like, hey, man, we got to get OG a couple more looks. He scored 6 points in three games. We should get him some more offense. That did not happen tonight. There was not a lot of set plays run for OG. You know, there's one split cut that he got, and you know, OG kind of flubbed it at the rim. But, you know, it's not like they were giving him like 3-4 touches just to sort of get him involved. Like they used to do with like JV or whoever. But again, credit to OG because he comes off the bench ice cold, hasn't really played, hasn't really shot the basketball aside from doing layups and stuff like that. And the ball swings out to him in a tight moment, and OG switches to three. And that's nice to see. And OG collects, he picks off a really, really bad entry pass. So I guess that says a lot of nice things about OG's positioning. But he picks off that pass and he forces a turnover. So OG does make contributions towards the end of the game. But really what this game came down to was A, you know, you got Fred VanVleet hitting a step back three. That was nice to see. When the Knicks sort of went down the pick and roll. But ultimately what this came down to is Pascal Siakam showing why he's an all-star. Because what an all-star does is when your team needs it the most, when your team needs a basket on the road, in a tight game, your all-star delivers. And that's what Pascal Siakam did. First play, Pascal, on the perimeter, handling the ball. You got Marcus Morris on him. He sees the gap. He drives the lane. He goes hard, beats Morris off the dribble, beats the second help defender, and goes up hard for a two-handed dunk. Great play. Give the Raptors the lead. End the tie game. Then after that, Siakam on the same spot, right or left wing. He sees Marcus Morris. This time, Morris says, you know what, mentally, he knows, makes a note. You know what, last time, the guy just drove by me. I'm going to give him some space. I know he wants to drive. And Pascal says, oh, yeah? Well, watch me pull up. And he pulls up for three. It's a two-possession game at that point. Raptors are up. And that basically shut the door on the Knicks. And it was just great to see because both those plays came in the last 2 minutes there. Pascal Siakam asserting his dominance, asserting his abilities as an all-star starter. Look, man, people have questioned that start by Pascal. It doesn't help that Pascal's numbers have come down a little bit since the injury. Clearly, it's taking him some time to get back to where he was. And also, he's on a minutes restriction, so he's not just doesn't have as much time to produce as much as he did. And some people have said, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, with the Heat, you know, they're doing some stuff. Which, by the way, the Heat lost today. Shout out to the Clippers. The only time I'll ever shout out the Clippers, to be honest. But, yeah, they beat the Heat, so the Raptors are now tied in record with the Heat. The Heat have the tiebreaker, so they're still up in the standings. But, you know, in that second seed, the Raptors are, you know, they're closing in. But yeah, I mean, you know, people have questioned it. People said, oh, maybe Butler, you know, whatever. Even though Butler's clearly a shooting guard, I don't know why the hell he would compete for a forward spot with Pascal. But some people question Pascal as a starter. And if you were going to go with the injury case, then sure, maybe. But damn, Pascal has produced like an NBA All-Star. Yeah, and he's produced like an NBA All-Star starter in the Eastern Conference. I mean, who are you taking over him? You're gonna point to like Tatum or Brown or Tobias Harris or all these other guys, Chris Middleton. I saw a Bucks guy say Chris Middleton deserved it more than Pascal. Please. Do I need to pull up Chris Middleton's numbers against Norman Powell's numbers in last year's playoffs again? Do I need to do that in the Eastern Conference Finals? Chris Middleton averaging one whole entire more point in 12 extra minutes as the second option behind Norman Powell, who was like the eighth guy in that playoff series. Seriously, go look at those numbers. No, Pascal, man. Pascal. He's great. It was nice to see him come up big in that moment because, again, you know, he has been not necessarily his best since the injury. It's taken him some time to get back to rhythm, get back to his aggression and everything like that. It was nice to see him just, you know, come up big in that big moment, man. Damn, that's like a dream moment for a lot of guys to be in MSG in that big crowd and that mecca of basketball, the mecca of losing basketball, and for Pascal to come up in that big in that moment right after he's named All Star, it's you just love to see. And of course, you know, Kyle Lowry being as competitive as he is, two plays set up for me for Kyle at the end of the game. One, Julius Randle had an open layup, and Kyle Lowry hit him with a hard foul, not a flagrant foul, but a hard foul to ensure that he couldn't make the easy layup. And then Randle goes on to split the free throws. So that's an important point. Every point matters in the crunch time. And Kyle Lowry coming with that foul, sort of sacrificing his body once again. That was great. And then Kyle Lowry on the Knicks' last play of the game. I mean, they weren't going to score like 6 points or whatever. But like the inbound pass comes over to Randle. And Kyle Lowry is so smart. He leaves his man. And then he doesn't even go for the steal. He doesn't jump for the pass with Randle, because obviously 6 foot tall Kyle Lowry is not going to jump for a pass with 6 foot 10 Julius Randle. But what Kyle did was he waited for Randle to catch the pass, come down with the ball to gather, and then Lowry, being small, snuck up from behind, waited right where the hand was going to be, then swiped the ball, and then waited to get fouled. This Kyle Lowry's a genius, man. And also another play where Kyle Lowry was about to execute a dribble handoff with Pascal Siakam. The defender was playing Pascal super tight, and then Kyle Lowry uses his body, gets in the way, and draws a foul, and he gets two free throws out of that, which is, you know, more efficient than any other offense the Raptors could probably generate otherwise. Kyle Lowry's a genius, man. He's a diabolical genius, and he made a couple winning plays there at the end to ensure that the Raptors win their sixth straight game. And now the Raptors have won 18 of their last 19 games against the Knicks. And I know that one loss very, very vividly in my mind, because DeMar DeRozan tried a 360 layup in that game and missed. And the Raptors ended up losing that game in overtime. So I still curse that missed basket to this day, because, again, every basket matters. And, yeah. But, no, the Raptors have just smacked up the Knicks over the years, man. They've had some tough games against them. They really have. DeMar hitting that game winner against Derrick Rose is still an amazing moment. Him just, you know, sauntering up and down the floor, skipping up and down the floor, just a boss moment. And today, Pascal Siakam with his own boss moment, dunking and then hitting the three to show why he's an all-star. In terms of your three stars tonight, number one star for me, Kyle Lowry, 26 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, a block, 5 of 12 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3, 13 of 14 from the free throw line in 35 minutes. The drive to win, Kyle Lowry, man. He just wants to win so badly. It doesn't matter that it's the Knicks in January. He's gonna compete. He's gonna go hard, and he's gonna set the tone for his team. And that's what you want out of your leader. You know, again, he made all those clutch plays in the fourth quarter. Sort of just made hustle plays throughout the game. To be honest, when Matt Devlin in the fourth quarter said, "Oh, Kyle Lowry with 21," I was like, "What?" It was very shocking to me that Kyle Lowry had even, you know, more than 10 points. It didn't really feel like a game where Kyle Lowry took over offensively, but. I mean, 26 points for Kyle. I mean, I don't even know how he got there, really. I guess the free throw line. He's really smart about that. Second star for me, Pascal Siakam, 23 points in 33 minutes, 9 of 15 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3, 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, the block. Defensively, I think I'm pretty happy with Pascal's effort in the last couple of games. You know, you definitely want him to play defense, and just offensively, just about rhythm and getting all his touches to come back and stuff like that. Today was his most efficient game since coming back. 9 of 15 from the field is great. 2 of 5 from 3 is great. Even though it's just an average kind of shooting night for Pascal, he's shooting like... but he was not shooting the 3 well since coming back. So seeing him hit the 3s, and especially that one late, it was great to see. The only thing with Pascal is just, man, is this man going to get some respect from the NBA officials now that he is an NBA All-Star? Because out of the top 20 scorers in the NBA in terms of points per game, Pascal Siakam is dead last in free throw attempts at 4.5 per game. And it doesn't make sense to me, because Pascal Siakam is constantly going into the basket, going into the paint, drawing fouls, taking on defenders, playing through contact. Like, you know, I mean, Pascal, I'll give him credit. He has great character, because he actually tries to play and shoot and finish the shot. He doesn't try to flop. He doesn't try to embellish or anything like that. But maybe he should, because, like, damn, yo, he's just not getting respect. The thing is, even when he gets clearly fouled, like, there was a play at the end of the first half, Pascal in transition, goes up for layup. I forget which Knicks defender it was, but he smacks him so hard across the arm, you could hear, like, a whip sound that just came out of the TV broadcast. And you're like, how the hell did you not see that as the referee on the baseline standing less than a meter away? And you not only did you not see that, how did you not hear that? The sound of like someone slapping someone's arm, it's a very, very distinct sound. And this would be a sound you're familiar with if you're a referee that's literally employed to call and witness and determine contact on plays. It was a little strange. But yeah, Pascal, I mean, he's just got to get more free throw attempts, man. Like three, really, in a game where he was going to the basket nonstop? Like, what are we doing over here? So that was a little surprising. And then third star, I really do think Fred has a good case for it, but I'm giving it to Norm. That stretch on the end of the third quarter, start of the fourth quarter, really got the Raptors going. 16 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. I think Fred actually played better on the whole, but that stretch there by Norm just really stood out for me. And again, really productive. 16 points in 25 minutes, efficiently as well. Great stuff from Norm Powell. Great stuff from the Raptors, six man. And, you know, in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, got to give that to Damian Dotson. 21 points on 7 of 10, shooting 4 of 7 from 3. I mean, Dotson's fine. I like him. He's a nice player. He's a nice development project for the Knicks. I think he played in their G League team at one point, and he, you know, cracked the big team. And he's really stuck around. He's a shooting guard. He plays a little defense. He plays hard. He can shoot the ball decently well. I don't mind him at all. It was just funny to me because when the Raptors played the Knicks earlier this season at Scotiabank, Dotson was just running suicides nonstop for like half an hour. And I'm like, damn. What? I mean, like, you just rarely see that from NBA players. It feels strange. I don't know. Normally, players come out pregame. They're stretching. Maybe they're doing a little bit of a lift. Maybe they're, most times they're shooting. Maybe practice some dribble drills. Maybe using some resistance bands or whatever. Maybe getting like a little slight massage or whatever, a stretch. I just rarely see players do full-on suicides for like a half an hour before a game. And Dotson was one of those guys doing it last time at Scotiabank. So, I don't know. It just struck me as odd. I don't know. It feels like you should maybe conserve your energy a little bit if you're going to play a whole NBA game. But, yeah, anyway, Damian Dotson, 21 points, 7 of 10 shooting, 4 of 7 from 3. Pretty good. Pretty good. So that does it for the podcast. You know, whatever. It's a ho-hum win against the Knicks. A little bit more difficult than it had to be. But as Kyle Lowry said, a win is a win is a win. The Raptors are now tied in record with the Miami Heat. The Heat lost to the Los Angeles Clippers today. Apparently, Deion Waiters is back and he's doing his stuff again. And by doing that stuff, I don't mean eating edibles on a plane. I mean, like, actually playing good at basketball. And, you know, you got to give it up for Kawhi Leonard, man. 33 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals, a block for Boardman. You know, getting it done on the road to beat the Miami Heat. It's not easy. The Heat are pretty good. And, you know, it's just, you know, Kawhi just showing once again that he's way better than Jimmy Butler. Not that there's much of a comparison there. Yeah, so the Raptors, you know, unfortunately they're 0-2 against the Heat this season, so they, you know, are still officially back of the Heat. But, you know, the one thing that really struck out to me with the Raptors is that the Raptors' point differential is plus 6.0. The Heat's point differential is 3.5. It's just strange that they have the same record. Just if you were going to run the point differential and stuff like that and just run the Pythagorean theorem and stuff like that, you probably wouldn't expect them to have the same record. You would expect the Heat to have like 2 to 3 fewer wins. But the Heat have been, again, amazing in overtime, 8-0 in overtime. But then they're hitting a little bit of a slump here. The Raptors are definitely hitting a soft spot in the schedule, and they're really accelerating and finding their groove with everyone healthy. And, you know, the Raptors are still only a half game up in the Celtics. The standings are extremely tight right now. But, yeah, I mean, they're closing on the second seed. And so if the Raptors can just keep taking care of business offensively and with the group and keep playing defense the way that we know they're capable of, second seed is there. And if, hey, Mr. Raptors get to the second seed, Nick Nurse coaches the All-Star game. Nick Nurse gets to coach Giannis. Just saying, man. Because the Bucks were the first seed last year at the deadline. So Mike Budenholzer coached the team. Coaches don't coach the team back-to-back years. So, you know, if the Raptors just make a bit of a push here, Nick Nurse could be spending, you know, everyone's dream is to spend February in Chicago, in the windy city, in the frigidly winded the wind chill city. But yeah, Nick Nurse could be an all-star. Honestly, he would really deserve it, man. He should get in the spotlight. He should be there around all the media, do all the interviews, make all the rounds, be in all these social clips and stuff like that. Nick Nurse is a fantastic coach. And the fact that the Raptors are even in the conversation for the second seed, let alone tied for the second seed, is just absolutely amazing. So Raptors, please go get Nick Nurse, that second seed. Please get him to the All-Star game. Please let him, you know, build our rapport and start tampering with Giannis. We would really love it. So thanks again to everyone for listening. Big thanks to KFC for sponsoring the show. And I'll be back on Sunday to recap the Raptors game against the San Antonio Spurs. And in the meantime, happy Lunar New Year or slash Chinese New Year to all my fellow Asians celebrating. And yeah, I'll be back on Sunday.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there. Especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.